If you'd be turning to Psalm 103, there's one topic that is central to the concept of Christianity, and that is blessings. Blessings. If we read in Psalm 103 in verse 1, "Bless the Eternal, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Eternal, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Part of living a Christian life does bring blessings. Well, what type of blessings? Over the last couple of centuries, there's been what's called a prosperity theology. Prosperity theology, or another name, some is called health and wealth gospel. And this is an interesting concept. And the prosperity theology really took hold a couple centuries ago. It was a culmination of, some historians believe, a combination of the Pentecostal movement, the New Thought movement, and Americanism. Good old-fashioned gospel of being an American. And so the New Thought was a concept that you can make changes based upon your thought process, and you can define your universe if you would just put your mind to it and think hard enough. And then also Americanism, as America began to expand, as immigrants came, and those who land with very little could amass fortunes. And there's plenty in the history of America of those who end up being capital barons due to their hard work. And as a combination of these three things, and the concept of a prosperity theology took hold. And what is the balance? As we just read, if we pursue God, if we, in essence, it says, "Bless the Eternal, O my soul," and God's going to do these things for you, where is that balance? And how should we think about the concept of blessings? And that's what I'd like to do today. I would like to talk about the concepts of blessings. If you would like a title, it's Dimensions of God's Blessings. Yes, God does bless us. Let's also look at Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. A well-known blessing, a couple of nice songs put to it. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." So God blesses us. But the question is what are those blessings? Health and wellness gospel, a prosperity theology approach would say, I want something. Let's just take, for example, a physical blessing. I would like to be rich. Like Tevye, when this, I think it was his daughter, or no, it was a tailor, I think, made a comment about Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof, that wealth is an affliction. He says, well, may God inflict me with it then, and may I never be cured from it. So that's Tevye's view in life. But so we want a physical blessing. So if we would only pray enough, if we would only give enough to the church, if we only have enough positive thoughts, that then is how God will bless us. God promises his blessings, but he doesn't always define, or it's not always given in accordance to what we think. We are of carnal nature, we have a human mind, and what we think our blessing should be may not match God's. And as much as we passionately want something, it may be more of asking God for God's blessing upon what we need. The story that always comes to mind when I think about this concept was when Elijah was running away from the nasty queen and was hungry. How was he fed? He was fed by ravens bringing him scraps of food. That's what he needed. I said this before in a sermon, kind of half kidding, but for me, it's like, okay, God bless me, and I want to be blessed with medium rare ribeyes from Moe's Steakhouse. That's how I want to be blessed. Please, God, bless me. But is it really what I need? So good. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Let's see how God blesses us. Yes, he does provide us at times in need. We are to cry out. We are to knock. We are to ask. We're instructed to do that. But do we have then the faith that God's answered prayer will be based upon how we truly need it? So then in Romans 6:23, we also talk about how else God blesses us. Romans 6:23, we often think about the first part, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The blessing, in essence, of God is eternal life. Because God's blessings extend beyond this physical life. God's blessings ultimately, and we'll talk more about this later, is for then the time to come, the kingdom of God, not just this life. And when we think about how God blesses us through how we observe him, how we follow his ways, his blessings comes in different form, including the eternal blessing. Let's turn back to John chapter 14 and verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. God's blessings, his commitment to us is that, and when Jesus Christ was saying, I'm going away to his disciples, I'm going away. But when I return, I'm going to bring something for you. I need to go because I'm going to prepare it. And then I will be able to receive you. That blessing is there. That's one of the commitments and that blessings that God is to prepare a place. And that includes opportunities of service and opportunities of giving. That is a blessing. It's important to keep these things in mind because the walk of a Christian is difficult. We're told that. It's narrow is the gate, narrow is the way. It's not easy. And so there are times when we do follow God's way. We do it the right way, and the blessing is not immediately seen. We make the choice to say, no, I will not work on the Sabbath. Or, no, I will not do what you ask me to. At times in my past, I've been approached by a direct supervisor to ask me to do something that was, to me, was ethically incorrect. It's a difficult choice to be in. like many of you, I like to work. I like to pay my bills. And being faced with that challenge of having to do something that you don't feel is ethically correct, it is a test. And there are times, we could take turns up here giving stories of how where we decided to make a choice that was consistent with how God blessed us, or how God instructed us, that resulted in immediate physical discomfort, losing a job, being dismissed for your beliefs, or getting a reputation for, oh, that's goody two-shoes. It was kind of interesting. I had a great relationship with the GM my company used to work for, but he knew I was a religious person, and that was always his comment. Well, Russ, we're having a difficult time, so can you say a few more prayers for the company and help that our... It's a little strange. You get that reputation, and he's kind of saying it halfway tongue-in-cheek. He was an atheist. Kind of makes you feel a little uneasy and that they're belittling your beliefs. So we are faced at times with challenges where a choice will bring some type of discomfort. And it's easy to ask, well, wait a second, I'm doing this the right way. If I honored you, why am I being fired? Why did you allow it to happen? God, if I'm honoring you, you know, why are people making fun of me? But God's blessings oftentimes are not immediate, and they come in different forms than what we think and what we need. The ultimate blessing coming from what we just read, and that is eternal life. That our older brother said, yes, I know you're going through challenges, but you know what? I've prepared that room for you. I've prepared that opportunity for you. That's the ultimate blessing. So we talked about blessings that God does for us, but when we think about God's blessings, it's also important to understand that blessings are beyond the physical or the spiritual, or I should say the physical or the emotional, or what God does for us. When we look at God's blessings, it also is now what God does in us. God provides us blessings that occur within us. So let's look at John chapter 14. We're there already, so let's hop on down to verse 15. John chapter 14, I should say, John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. And that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see it or know it, but you know it, because it abides with you and will abide in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus promised to his disciples that he would dwell in them by the means of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. As part of that blessing, the disciples were blessed with Jesus Christ's presence and his promise to them after his resurrection that he would still be there through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a blessing. It's dropping down to verse 28. John 14, verse 28, you heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. This is true because he could do more in them by means of his indwelling presence than he could do for them while he was present in the flesh. In this case, if you think about the disciples, many of them, I probably still felt, without fully understanding the plan of salvation, that this was the coming of Christ, that he was going to set up his throne, and that would usher in the kingdom of God. If you can imagine this person that you spent three and a half years with, and at the time approached, and it became more clear as he continued to teach them that he was going to be taken away, what type of blessing is that? You're taking away someone we love. What type of blessing is that? But the promise was that he could do so much more power through them after having gone to the Father and being able to dwell in them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's the same, it's true for all of God's people down through the ages. That's a blessing that Jesus Christ living in our heart, living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the same blessing we have. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And then also 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know that you are a sanctuary? A special place where God dwells. And especially in concept of understanding what the tabernacle and what the temple in the Old Testament was for, especially the tabernacle where God's Spirit would be. And using that symbolism, and Paul is talking about now, as we understand, through Christ's sacrifice, through his resurrection, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the presence is in us. Is in us. So let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. When we make choices that are in line with God's ways, and oftentimes we don't see the physical blessings, we may question, are we being blessed? But understanding that part of God's plan of salvation is that we have the chance to grow in righteous character. God cannot give us character by fiat. Otherwise, it would already be over. We'd already be in the kingdom of God. But through God's plan of salvation, we understand that he is working through some now, everyone later, but everyone will have the opportunity to learn, to grow, to exercise God's way, and through that, build that character. And so the blessing may not be from a child, may not be a result of something physical, but something spiritual within us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Begin actually at verse 12, Philippians 2 and verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Works, it comes from the Greek energeo, or energy. That's how we get our English word energy. It can also be said, or we can also read it, that God energizes us. How much of a blessing is that? Do we ask for those type of blessings as well, that as we are challenged, as we may feel tired, as we may feel run down or worn out, that we ask for the blessings of God working in us to stir us up, to help us. So go Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. All of these qualities that God develops in us is a blessing. And it is through the power of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. That is a blessing. So as now we think about the next concept or next evolution of God's blessings, let's reflect. I already briefly mentioned it about God's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation is bringing many sons to glory. Having a blessing that God gives us, it's a wonderful thing. For God to bless us physically is a good thing. For God to bless us inside is a more powerful thing. Well, what's the end in mind? What's the result? And the result is that we can be a blessing for others. If God's plan of salvation is bringing many sons to glory, and He's called first fruits now to say, I'm working with a group of people throughout the ages, but you know, to help usher in eventually the kingdom of God, to be there as a kingdom of priests, it is for others. And that's where, when you think about God's blessings in our lives, the most powerful is that the blessings that God does through us to others. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's begin in verse 4 so we can give the whole thought. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A holy priesthood, spiritual house, to offer up sacrifices. Priesthood in the Old Testament time, a group of people who were set aside, dedicated to the nation of Israel. They were there to serve the other 11 tribes. Or technically, I guess, all 12 tribes, but you know what I mean. They're there to serve. And as now royal priesthoods and spiritual priests, that is our purpose. Let's look at verse 9. Dropping down to verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Or also translated, coming in judgment. In other words, Christ's coming. Living stones built up. But this is not something that we can do on our own. It's only through the blessings inside us now we are able to become this type of a blessing to others. Let's look at John chapter 15. We read read right up to here, but let's read the next couple verses that we skipped. John 15 and verse 4. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We cannot do this on our own. It's only through the blessing. So in essence, it says God blesses us, as that blessing then is magnified, and we bless others. Matthew 5 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Another well-known parable. Matthew 5 and verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. As this example, we understand that it's a reflection of you know, what provides the light. It's the moon reflecting the light obviously comes from the sun. It's not something the moon can do on its own. And the light that we're able to let shine inherently does not come from us, but it is only through Jesus Christ in us. And it's only through the blessings and the grace and the miracles that is inside us internally then that we can and become a blessing to others. It's not our own light. It's not the demand of Jesus that we should, as it were, produce our own light. We must shine with the reflection of his light. And there's a balance here. There's two competing potentials going the wrong direction. They're both the wrong direction. On one hand, as we're reading and understanding, where does the light come from? Job, in his trials and his lessons that he went through to understand his self-righteousness and where the righteousness of God, not too long before Elihu came and said, "Let me set you straight," and then God himself came along and helped set Job straight. One of the last soliloquies that Job had was the "Woe is me." But woe is me, because I used to be looked highly upon. People used to come to me for judgment. I used to provide sound wisdom. I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I used to do this, and I was how important I was to others, and now this has all been taken away from me. I think it's an example of what we're reading here, of Job thinking this, it was his own light. And it's possible for us, as when we think about service for others, it's possible for us to go to that extreme, to think, how good am I? I'm so awesome that I'm able to do this, this, and this, and this. And without reflecting or an understanding of what's the source, and it's only through the blessings in us that we can do that. The other side of the coin is just as bad, and that is, why do I have to give? What do you mean I'm a blessing to others? That's, to me, just as harmful as our ability to be a royal priesthood. If we allow God to bless us internally, if we can reflect that and have the courage to understand where that's coming from, and that, yes, indeed, through our activities, through our actions, through our thoughts, and how we interact, that indeed we can be a blessing to others if we would only allow God to do that. Just as there are different types of blessings, there's different styles of how others are blessed through us. And you would be surprised how, if everyone really opened up, maybe that'd be an interesting exercise after services, just to open up to each other and say, you know what, I really appreciated the time you filled in the blank. It'd be interesting to hear the stories. I really appreciated the time that you came and sat with me all night. I really appreciated the time that I was just going off on you because you had done something that made me upset. And you took it patiently. You allowed me to get it off my chest. It was not appropriate. I'm sorry. But I appreciated the patience you showed me. Thank you so much for the financial blessing that you gave us, that you helped us through this difficult time in our lives. We all can be that blessing if we allow God and understand where the source is coming from and allow that light to shine of Jesus Christ living in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. God has the ultimate power. He has the ultimate power to make something holy and special and righteous. And that includes us. As much as we think we're the plain Jane, not the pretty cup, not the pretty vessel, it's made out of gold and with all the jewels. You know, I'm the stoneware. That stoneware can still provide someone refreshing drink, just the same as that gold cup. God, having created the vessels, he can bless these beautiful, wonderful vessels to be a blessing for others. Let's drop down to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Sorry, I just read that, but reemphasize. The power from God, not from ourselves. Let's look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. Acts 9 and verse 15. Acts 9 and verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, or a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. Speaking about Paul, originally Saul. If there was any vessel that was broken in the context of the New Testament and the New Testament church and the disciples after Christ's death and resurrection, and the start of that, it was Saul, the most broken vessel God used. He's a master applicator of super glue to fix those vessels and to make them of value and the benefit of others. But as we read, to be a blessing to others, we have to be blessed ourselves. We have to allow ourselves to be blessed. And that blessing comes as we look in Colossians chapter 3. excuse me, 1, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 22. So when we think about our effectiveness and being a blessing to others, being the ultimate in mind, ultimate end in mind, is helping bring many sons to glory, something we practice in this age for that time to come in the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22, yet he has now reconciled you to his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Paul is saying to hold fast. And Jesus Christ, we read before, when he's speaking to his disciples, he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. The start of these blessings, the start of God blessing us and blessing others, is our obedience to God, our allegiance, our commitment to God and his life, and then our willingness to receive God's blessing so that we can bless others. We often think about physical blessings. It's interesting, especially those of us with too much pride. Maybe I'll put myself in that category, where we don't want help. Well, no, I don't need help. No, I'm fine. I don't need help. We need to allow others to bless us. We need to allow God to bless us, because we understand it's then that blessing inside of us, the blessing we understand, the God's ways that we understand that we can apply, we turn around and bless others. So obedience to God and then the willing to receive God's blessings. Let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 12. Because if we're willing to receive God's blessings, then that's that internal nature that we're supplanting our own human nature with God's nature. And based upon that, we have the light at which then we shine, that we can bless others. John chapter 14 and verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. We like to help and we like to give. We can do a greater work, a greater effort, by having Christ live in us. So when we think about the concept of blessings and benefits and how God blesses us, yes, it is physical blessings at times. It's blessings that we may touch and see and hear. But sometimes it's not. But always, it's a blessing that happens inside, that God blesses us internally. He blesses our heart. And if we're obedient to him, and we allow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, for Christ to be in us, then we have that light. Then we have that ability so that God can not only do something for us, but also God blesses us inside, and through us, we bless others.